Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
With Danny Murray and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
What ruckus? I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
Can you describe the ruckus, sir?
And 1080.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Thursday afternoon. An hour from now, we'll have our picks. Show collectively last weekend went a very sultry 10-2.
And our on the all picks. Three records are looking pretty sterling.
Yeah, they are. They're not too shabby. You win some, you lose some. The betting gods are never kind. All right, so let's not get over our skis a little too quick, all right? We'll have that. We have our worst day on the web coming up. The NFL's most popular snack, that also will be discussed today. But where we start hour number two is, what's this Big Ten race going to look like as we come down the stretch? Five or six games, depending on the school, remaining on the regular season slate for the Big Ten. I think the teams that still have six games remaining, I think there's only two of them, Ohio State and Penn State. Both of those schools have only played six games. Everybody else has played seven across the Big Ten. And the Big Ten race is pretty tight down the stretch. Three unbeaten teams, Oregon, Penn State, Indiana. Three teams only have one loss in conference play. They are Illinois, Wisconsin, Ohio State. And right now, those six teams seem to be the ones that are vying for contention for the two spots in Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship game. And I think with the way that everybody looks at it, you make it to Indianapolis that first weekend of December, you're going to be going to the college football playoff. And that is, if you're a fan of any of these teams, if you're Oregon or Ohio State, look, you are eyeing, if you stay perfect, no matter what, you guys are looking at the winner of that Big Ten championship game is a top four seed. Winner of the Big Ten will be a top four seed no matter what.
Yeah.
But this race is going to get even tighter, and this could be like an elimination week this weekend in the Big Ten.
Which is kind of weird, but also kind of what you, I think, should anticipate in a conference that has this many teams that are kind of vying for that position.
So we mentioned like the six teams that are all with no losses or one loss in conference play right now. You have four of them playing against each other this weekend. Illinois heads to Oregon Saturday, 12:30 kick. You have Penn State going to Wisconsin. And look, I'm not going to say that you can't make it with two losses. It's going to be really damn hard when you look at the schedules remaining. Yeah. If Penn State loses to Wisconsin, then you have that logjam of one-loss teams gets even more hairy. And this is the beauty of this college football season right now, is look at Penn State's schedule remaining. They got Wisconsin this week. They got Ohio State on the second. So Penn State back-to-back weeks could be in eliminator-type scenarios for that Big Ten championship game. And they have not been playing great football throughout the course of the year.
No, I mean, you take a look I think the Big Ten, and to an extent the SEC, they protect some of their brands. But I do think the Big Ten has done a relatively decent job of giving their higher-end programs a little bit of runway with their scheduling. And then basically saying, you better figure it out in the final 4 weeks.
Yeah, Ohio State, they've got...
I said, for the most part.
Yeah, Ohio State had Oregon smack dab in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. They got Penn State in that kind of the middle end of the middle third where you get Oregon and Penn State with the bye week kind of wedged in there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody was thinking that that Indiana game right before they play Michigan was going to
be that important,
a game of importance. But I think that's the fun part about all of this is over the next handful of weeks, we're going to find out what Indiana's made of.
Mm-hmm.
We really will find out what Indiana's made of. Last week, we thought we were going to, and they passed that with flying colors. The way they beat the absolute hell out of Nebraska, that was surprising. Like, Nebraska is not a national title contender.
No, but
they're not
a
Big
team.
Ten contender. 56-7, this is what Indiana has been doing to everyone.
Have you looked at what Indiana's numbers are this year, points for, points against? They've got, in conference, points for 181, points against 72.
I don't get it. I don't get why they are ranked 13.
They should be top 10 pretty handily. Like they're not one-dimensional. They've got a quarterback. They've got a running game. They've got a defense. Like, they are good in all three phases of the game. And, I mean, they're going to be without Rourke for a week or two with the thumb surgery. And most people don't think they're going to miss a beat.
Okay.
Which is kind of, like, think about that. The Indiana Hoosiers are going to be without the most important position on the field, and everybody's totally fine with it.
Yeah, that seems like an oversight. It kind of does.
But you know what I mean? Like, that's how confident and comfortable they are.
Yeah.
The Indiana Hoosiers on the football field.
The game of football.
That's such an insane, like, that sounds like a Mad Lib.
It kind of does.
Like, if it's the Indiana Hoosiers in basketball, and you're like, okay, you know, they've got dudes.
All right.
Mackenzie Mbako not being out there for a week. Okay, cool. Like, they'll find a way. But this is the football team. This is not a program that is built on the backs of successful football lineage.
Okay, here is my question.
Go on.
With Indiana, now I do believe with the way that they're beating teams, like, you can only play the schedule that's in front of you, right?
Yes.
But when you're beating the breaks off of teams left and right.
When you're beating everyone to death and then also taking the money out of their pockets and spitting on them, yeah.
All right, look at their schedule. You tell me, who is the best team Indiana has played?
Maybe scroll back. Nebraska.
Okay. The S&P rankings of ESPN. Nebraska is the 32nd best team in college football right now.
Okay, which it's not bad.
Okay. Northwestern is 73rd.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maryland is 52nd.
Mm-hmm.
Those
first four, FIU, Western.
Charlotte is 122nd.
UCLA
is 79th. Western Illinois won't be on here, and FIU might be one of the worst teams.
I'll
in
say
football. Oh, hey, they're better than Charlotte. They're 117th.
Oh,
so that is why that perception, like, they don't have a top 30 win.
Yeah,
you know,
but the team that is closest in Nebraska at 32. My God, did they annihilate them?
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. They're going to play Washington this weekend. And if they go in there and they just steamroll Washington, which I don't think is going to happen.
No.
But if they go in there and they just steamroll them, then the eyes start to go, oh.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, Ohio State is number one in those S&P rankings still, based off of.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, going on the road, though. Winning a close game or losing a close game on the road.
I would have thought
you
one
don't
of
get knocked as bad.
Tennessee, Georgia, or Texas would have been number one.
No, Tennessee's ninth.
Really?
Texas is second, Ole Miss third, Georgia fourth, Oregon fifth, Penn State sixth, Alabama seventh, Notre Dame eighth, Tennessee ninth, Miami 10.
I don't agree. I think everything in that group is fine except for Notre Dame.
And Alabama?
I mean, they've
lost two tight ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both on the road, right?
Yeah. I mean, in S&P Plus is intended to be predictive,
yeah.
And kind of the like what they feel as the forward facing is what their metric is. But just think of that, and when you're thinking about Indiana, is that the teams that they have played, this will be the best team that they face this season. Washington, ranked 27th in the S&P.
There you go.
Okay, then they have Michigan State after that, and I think this is the fun part about where this season is kind of marching towards.
Sure.
Is that Michigan State is 72nd in that. Then they have Michigan, which is still 24th in the S&P. And then Ohio State, and then Purdue.
Yeah, I mean, they've got
the best games on their schedule ahead of them.
Yeah, and if they handle as much business as they can, they'll be in. How insane would it be is if in the first year of the new Big Ten, Indiana ends up in the Big Ten title game?
That'd be great. I would love it. I'm an agent of chaos. I love
Kirk
chaos.
Cincinnati would put his balls on the actual table.
I think he would.
Like, just.
I think he would.
Drop them on there.
I wouldn't be opposed to it.
They'd probably still be inside something, but.
Yeah.
And then he'd just say, Google me.
Yeah. Google me, B. Penn State. Do we have any faith in Penn State?
They're a paper tiger. Drew Aller's not good.
Wisconsin, Ohio State, Washington. If they get past that, they got Purdue, Minnesota, Maryland.
I mean, they could get through it.
They got to get past Ohio State.
Yeah, Ohio State is the one.
Yeah.
But what does Penn State under James Franklin do in big games?
Well, big regular season games, they fold.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And I don't think they have the quarterback to alleviate that pressure.
But they do have, of any of these teams in this race, strength of schedule-wise, Penn State has the easiest schedule of that group of Wisconsin, Illinois, Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon, Penn State. They've got the easiest one.
Really?
Yeah.
Not by much, though.
They have the 41st toughest schedule remaining in the country. Oregon has 38th. Yeah. Indiana's 37th. Ohio State, 35th. Illinois, 32nd. And then Wisconsin has the 6th toughest schedule remaining in all of college football.
Goodness, they just play everyone?
Well, I mean, they have Wisconsin this week, and then in 2 weeks they have Oregon. They have Iowa wedged in between Nebraska and Minnesota at the end of the year. That's a gauntlet.
That's a pretty tough schedule.
That is a gauntlet to roll through. It's nothing compared to Florida.
Yeah, no, that next four for Florida is disgusting.
Florida, if you're wondering, Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss.
That's so gross. That's such a tremendous gap between them and everyone else.
Kicked
as far as like
in the junk.
I mean, that's, you want to talk about mercy killing. I mean, goodness gracious.
And they're going to be like, oh, fire Billy Napier.
It's like, there's no coach in the country put Georgia in that schedule. They're struggling. That's
100%.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah. That is the toughest schedule. And this was heading into the year. Everybody said that about Florida. It's like, Florida has the toughest schedule in all of college football. Because remember, they opened the season with Miami. They, on that schedule, they had Texas A&M as well, which they lost 33-20 to Texas A&M. And Texas A&M is now ranked 14th in the country with one loss. And that was the opener to Notre Dame. They had Central Florida on the schedule, which beginning of the year was one of those fringe ranked teams. Kentucky, which we all thought was going to be far better. They beat Kentucky.
Yeah. Kentucky played Georgia to the final possession.
And they've already played Tennessee.
Oh.
So everybody, like heading into the year, we were all like, damn.
Yeah.
That is a gauntlet.
I mean, that's everyone ganging up on Florida and be like,
it's
have fun.
Getting even worse at the end. So you talk about protecting your brands. The SEC knows who to protect and who to throw to the wolves.
They threw Billy Napier to the wolves. To throw them to the wolves. That matters.
Poor guy. Poor guy.
Hey, money's guaranteed.
Big weekend in the Big Ten this weekend, though. You have 6 teams that are undefeated in conference play or have one loss. 4 of them play against each other this weekend. Illinois at Oregon, which I've been telling people since the schedule came out, Illinois is a tough, scrappy team. Oregon will have a talent advantage. They'll be physical. They'll be well coached. And here we are, number 1 versus number 20. That's going to be a hell of a football game on Saturday. Penn State goes to Wisconsin. If either Illinois or Wisconsin lose those games, that's essentially an eliminator in that Big Ten title race. That's the margin for error that these schools are working with. All right. I've delayed it long enough. I need to get this.
Oh.
The most popular snack in the NFL.
Oh.
It is Elite.
Oh.
But what is the Elite snack that you think of that you're ashamed, kind of, that you think it is that good? Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
YouTube crowd, you can look up to Joey right here. He's leaving the room on the YouTube. He's actually right. That's his butt you see on my camera right now.
Yeah.
Joey just NASCAR pit crewed my mic.
He did, dude.
Like it.
He did.
That was. Russ is like, we've got 10 seconds till we're back. Russ was like, or Joey's like, bam, yeah. Got a brand new mic on.
Yeah, he NASCAR'd the S out of that.
Yeah. He did.
You won the reward?
We are rewarding him with pizza.
Yes, take some pizza, Joey.
We are rewarding him with pizza.
Thank you, Rufio.
All right. The most popular snack in the NFL is not this delicious Bellagio's pizza, which we have right here.
Yes, which brings you the very best player of the game every week.
That's right. It is not that. This comes to us from Sam Kavoris, who is a columnist, a reporter, journalist, information, opinion, sports, etc. Oh, he's a speaker, singer, and a musician, according to his Twitter.
How far do you have to go before you get an etc. on the end?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. What else does he need to be in there? It's like information and opinion and sports. I don't know. I don't care, though, because he gave me this factoid.
I don't care.
He is a journalist. Funny, unknown, silly NFL stat. According to Sam, Uncrustables are the favorite snack at halftime of most NFL teams and post-practice snack during the week. League-wide, they eat at least 80,000 Uncrustables a year. The Jacksonville Jaguars rank third with about 315 a week. The Broncos are first at over 700 Uncrustables every week.
This is not surprising, considering the average age of the Trailblazers locker room is like 19. They are Uncrustables everywhere in that place.
Well, here's the thing about Uncrustables. High in protein, easy
high
to eat.
High sugar.
Yeah, and guys, they get a sugar bump is actually recommended by, as long as you're not just like mainlining it.
Yes.
Like most of the professional athletes do. I think that would surprise people how much sugar professional athletes eat.
Oh, good God. DK Metcalf is built like a Greek god, and all the guy does is eat candy.
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch, candy. DeAndre Ayton had a candy problem in Phoenix, allegedly. But they're high in protein, quick to eat, you know, peanut butter, jelly, a little bread in there. Nice, easy snack. Everywhere you go, I know Oregon has Uncrustables everywhere.
Yeah,
like when they're
post
on the road,
pre-game, it's pretty regular.
But halftime,
to
get
a little bump. It's actually funny that you bring this up. We were talking about this when the team was up in Seattle because they were housing Uncrustables. It was Devontae Graham. Devontae Graham, Scoot, and a couple other guys were all having them before games, and I was like, I just don't get down with them. I'm not a big peanut butter guy. I'm not anti peanut butter. It's just not my jam.
Really?
Get it? But yeah, it's just,
or your jelly.
Yeah, it's just this is not my thing. Like, I'll occasionally have a Reese's, but even then, it's a frozen Reese's I'll go with.
Okay,
but. Yeah, no, the Uncrustables are everywhere. Which the flip side is like the Blazers and like every other team, but they have either catering or they have a chef in the building kind of a deal. So they get to go food for dinner, like so the team makes sure, like, hey, here's what you're supposed to be eating. Like they have it made for their diet kind of a thing. And then the Warriors, hilarious since they played them last night. The Warriors are notorious for buying and catering like the best restaurant in town.
Well, post-game meals are different.
But I'm saying...
That's way different than... These are just like the snack.
Oh, no, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
The Warriors, they may have some Uncrustables at halftime. They spend more money on post-game meals than any other team in the league.
All right.
And it's not particularly close. And it's great because you can pop your head in there and go, what's left over? Got some steaks in here? I'm mildly joking. But no, the Uncrustables are everywhere. And I feel like they missed our generation. When did Uncrustables like come out?
I was in college.
Was it? So we were a little bit older.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I never really went down that path. Like, I tried one, and I was like, I'm good. It's not really my
No, they're really good, though. They got a good ratio of the peanut butter to jelly in there. Uncrustables are really good. But this got me to, what are you ashamed as a snack food that you like the most? Because Uncrustables have got to be up there. They are up there.
Like what are some snack foods that you can be ashamed of?
Well, I don't know. Like, if you have kids, basically anything that they eat, you're just going to take a little bit off the top. Like I really enjoy, like, and I don't know why I'm ashamed to admit this. The not good fruit roll-ups. You know, the ones that come in just like the generic fruit roll-ups.
They're more fruit leather?
They're more waxy. No. The high-end fruit roll-ups, gotcha. I love. Okay. The ones that you actually get in the fruit section.
Yeah.
But the waxy ones that have like the little tattoo on them.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I was those afraid ones you were going to start talking to us about the produce ones.
No.
Because those are the OGs and those are the good ones.
They are delicious. No, the ones that like you could get like the tattoos on, okay. I actually kind of like those. No, the actual fruit roll-ups, those are good.
You're talking like fruit by the foot.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Nope. Fruit by the foot was not around yet. I'm talking the round ones that came on the square plastic.
No, him.
That's not what, okay. No, that's not what we're talking about.
Okay, apologies.
Yeah, we're not
just
talking
saying,
about,
don't confuse the fruit by the foot with that.
Nobody is confused with that, Rust. Literally nobody.
Sorry, you guys just got fired up. My bad. I'm in here. I got Joey and Rufio, and I'm distracted.
This one, can anyone say Pop-Tarts?
Oh, is that a shameful one? I think that's.
I think it is.
Wait.
Like Pop-Tarts.
Wait.
Pop-Tarts get poo-pooed on a lot
because they're high
and
sugar
you know what?
Content.
About Pop-Tarts?
I'll go one step further. I actually like them toasted. I like them in the toaster because people are like, just eat them. No, put that damn thing in a toaster the way it's supposed to be.
I could not tell you the last time I put a Pop-Tart in a toaster.
See, and I like the original flavor of Pop-Tart.
No frosting?
No.
Okay.
Oh, come on.
That's the truth.
No, with the frosting.
That's for serial killers like you, Danny.
No, I can't go down that road.
It was the cherry flavor.
Yeah. Look, I'm okay with that.
With the icing on top. Strawberry is good. S'mores is really good. I'm a fan of Pop-Tarts. And that's a good one for the ashamed to.
Look, top
to
three, and in no particular order, you got your raspberry, your blueberry, and the brown sugar cinnamon.
Ooh, brown sugar cinnamon, I'm out on. I think that's way down on the power rankings for me. Chocolate covered raisins, that's just an enjoyable treat. I think everybody likes that.
Raisinettes.
I think that came in on the Vancouver Ford Tech sign.
That was one of my favorite movie theater treats as a child.
It's really
the
good.
Old raisinettes.
I can't really think of like shameful.
Oh man, I got one. Like what? This person says gas station 7-Eleven food.
I do not go down that road.
Nah, man. I will. I'm
not
a
unless
sucker.
You want to poop in 5 minutes.
I am a sucker for only when I'm half in the bag because this was my walk home from the bars in college. We would stop at the 7-Eleven and I'd get nachos there at 7-Eleven, and that's what I'd eat on the second. Hey, it was the halfway point of second half of my walk.
That's not as bad though.
I'd have dude, everything is bad about that nacho cheese.
Well, we all know what that nacho cheese is. It's the same whether it comes from the gas station or the stadium.
It's the nacho cheese and it's the squirt chili out of the gun. But it also, for some reason, it's different because of the round
chips. Yeah, the round chips. They're good. They're good. But like when I go back down to Ashland, the hotel we stay in is right near. Is right near 7-Eleven. I go back to that every time. If the Uber stops at a 7-Eleven, I'm getting those nachos.
I will say that my neighborhood gas station, the one I stop at back and forth when I need gas or need to go grab some energy drinks.
So let me guess, 2 blocks from your house?
It actually is. It's very close. But it's a Circle K, and they've really pushed into the food sector. There's two gas stations that I stop at, and there's one in Tiger right by Home Depot, and there's the one that I go to in Newburgh pretty regularly, just because of back and forth. But they both have like these massive glass case food things now, where it's like supermarket level.
Yeah.
And every single time I go in, there are people lined up to get the food. And every single time I go to the check stand and just grab my energy drinks, you want breakfast, you want lunch, you want any of this? I'm like, no, I don't. I'm good. Like, there's just something about that. Like, I am not above eating fried foods, but there's just something about the gas station food line that I just will not go down. I'll eat, weirdly enough, I will have like supermarket sushi before I will go gas station food.
You're not living, man.
I don't know why.
Crunchy's fried chicken, very good. From you can get those at gas stations.
Well, there's a couple places that like apparently go, have like genuinely good like crappy food.
Yeah, well, some of them have actually genuinely good food.
What's the one in the south? Is the
Buc-ee's?
Yeah, Buc-ee's. Yeah,
Buc-ee's is like an entertainment district in and of itself.
Buc-ee cheese.
I think an underappreciated advancement in the 7-Eleven technology from when I was a kid is now having more than like two flavors of Slurpees in the machine. Because when I was a kid,
take me back to just two.
Because when I was a kid, you had Coke, you had cherry.
Yeah.
Not that was a problem, because I was always the Coke Slurpee guy.
Yeah.
And I'm 48 years old, and that would still be my number one go-to.
Or when the Icy machine was there, you'd had blue and red.
The Icy is not 7-Eleven. I believe that was an AM/PM, perhaps.
Well, yeah, that's why I said it was the Icy machine. It's a different thing, Brust.
Okay.
Well, anyway. I didn't call it a Slurpee.
I'm talking Slurpees, dude.
The thing Russ gets defensive about.
Man.
Yeah.
All right. Come up, our worst day on the web. We're going to keep it in the food world. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
No, but I had some Slurpees.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
That sucks.
Now, keeping it in the vein of food, how do you feel about name changes of traditional snacks?
Ooh. By the way, I have a poll up at Dusty_Hara. How do you like your Pop-Tarts? Toasted or untoasted?
This should be a runaway.
We'll find out. We'll find out how many sick criminals are out there.
I don't know about you, but I always break off, like the frosted ones, I always break off the corners of the frosted ones that are just like unfrosted.
Oh, okay.
All right, I'm going to give you guys, a little bit of a peek into the anxiety-ridden ADHD mind of one Jeff Rust.
Mm. Oh, no way.
Yeah. I eat around every single side of the Pop-Tart and save the innards for the last few bites.
I don't think you're weird for that.
Okay.
Well, you get the,
I don't believe you, but thank you.
When you
no, there's a lot of other reasons why I think you're weird, but that is not one of them.
No. But look, you want to go like full weird. I'm a Twizzlers over Red Vines guy.
Oh God. And that's why you are a serial killer.
But I eat it like
that
I'm
so gross.
I eat it like I'm a chipmunk.
You're going to go home and eat a candle?
Yeah. No, don't get me started. Red Vines, the candles, mine are plastic. Leave it alone. But
Red Vines actually taste like something.
I eat it like a, what do you call it? Like a wood chipper. Like I just go and I'd like get like little teeny tiny pieces.
This is going to bring me back to again. I don't think you're weird for that.
Yeah.
No, you do you, man. Huh. However you want to eat that Twizzler. You eat that Twizzler however the hell you want to eat that Twizzler.
I've done it ever since I was a kid.
You know what you can't do is you cannot eat a burrito like the dude in the Wendy's commercial eats the breakfast burrito. Why are we not talking about this more? You want to talk about the worst day on the web?
Yeah.
How about every time I see that damn commercial, I want to punch my television.
Yeah, I don't
he
think I've seen this.
He eats a burrito sideways like a criminal.
Oh, it's just like a bite right in the middle of the side? That's awful.
Like they were trying to go viral with it. That's what they were doing.
Yeah.
And
I
get triggered every time. You know what it makes me want to do? Not get a breakfast burrito from there.
Yeah.
Because guess what? You don't deserve burritos if that's the way you're going to be having people eat your burritos.
Part of me hopes
that to me.
That it wasn't intentional by them. And instead, the actor was like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Like, Because that would make it
somebody actually, still had to sign off on it.
Well, I know, but like if you're the director and you're shooting the commercial and the guy just goes like this and just turns the burrito 90 degrees and bites it sideways.
No.
You kind of have to keep rolling.
It.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. How many burritos you got on set? You know, they what if they were like, that Andy, was like a lone burrito?
No. Andy Reid, remember? He made sure he ate every bite of the burger when he shot the commercial. What did he say? He ate like 8 burgers? Something like that when he did that?
It's because Andy Reid is an American treasure. But I'm a firm believer in you don't got to do S in your life except pay taxes and die.
Mm.
I hate this.
You don't got to keep rolling because the dude bit into the side of the burrito.
Keep rolling, baby. Keep that B-roll going.
You know, there's right now, I've only seen like 4 or 5, now we're up to 5 tweets of people on the internet. And Wendy's, if you come out Wendy's, you better come correct. Wendy's social media team is elite.
Oh, they're great. Yes.
Somebody said, Wendy's, this is not how you eat burritos. With the screenshot of that guy eating his burrito sideways on the back of a pickup truck. Wendy says, but this is how you eat Wendy's breakfast burritos. And that being the official stance of the company, I say, you don't deserve burritos, Wendy's. You don't deserve burritos.
I will say, I guess at least they owned it. They owned it.
Yeah, and you know what? That makes it even worse. Yeah. This is a company stance. They've drawn a line in the sand, and I will not have it.
And still...
Stick to your Baconators.
In my mind, the best fast food Twitter account still is the KFC because they only follow 11 herbs and spices.
That's right.
Worst day on the web. Goldfish is officially changing their name from Goldfish to Chilean Sea Bass.
Oh. I actually like this.
Can you please grab me the Chilean sea bass out of the cupboard?
Like the Chilean sea bass, please.
It's a marketing ploy. It's a lot like when IHOP went IHOB.
Yeah, I don't like that. You know, International House of Burgers.
But it did spike their burger sales.
Yeah.
Like, it worked. Mm-hmm. Do you like it when they do the name change?
No. I'm a creature of comfort, damn it.
Do you agree it works?
I do.
Because
that's exactly what they're doing. Yeah. And would we be talking about Goldfish today?
No.
No.
It works.
No, I like Goldfish. Huh.
I think I like instead them, of so delicious.
Yeah. Gotta go fishing. Mm-hmm. I can eat them every day. Also, and my mom says that's okay.
My 8-year-old daughter would definitely be talking about them.
Boban reaching into the bag and having his hand rip it apart because he's got hands.
He's like got a catcher's mitt.
Yeah. Look at these right here.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Look at these right here. I dipped into the kids' school snacks and I got goldfishes. I got Chilean sea bass right here, my friend.
You have baked Chilean sea bass.
Yeah, I do. Well, they're always baked.
Are they?
Yeah, they're baked crackers.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Yeah, they're all baked.
Did they just change the branding on it? Is that why it says the baked now?
Yeah, it just says baked snack crackers.
I could have sworn.
That's what they are.
Another not necessarily proportional 1 through 3 ranking of the goldfish.
How would you think they are made, Danny? You think they're like...
Fried?
You think they're fried? No, they're baked.
Smoked.
Smoked.
Although, hey, I'm going to trademark that one.
Smoked goldfish? I bet somebody's done it with like smoked goldfish with like Gouda cheese on
some like applewood pellets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Parmesan goldfish?
Yeah.
The original goldfish. I'm not talking the cheddar, just the plain, like oyster cracker. And they make an Old Bay flavored one.
Ew.
Old Bay seasoning gold. Oh, no, they're tremendous.
That's a name.
Yeah, Flavor Blasted is my favorite.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm sure it
is. I like a good Flavor Blast.
Yeah. It's an explosion of flavor in your mouth, Jeff.
Always been baked. For some reason, I thought in the earlier years they were fried for some reason. I don't know. But they were created in 1958 by a head of a Swiss Swiss baking company as a birthday gift for his wife, and the original name was Goldfishly.
Do you remember? Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Yeah. They launched them in 1962 in the U.S. Cheddar cheese was introduced
Was it created?
Switzerland. Yeah.
God.
Swiss, man. Chocolates and goldfish.
You know what? And Swiss Miss.
Mm. See, there you
Hot chocolate? Hot chocolate?
Have you ever put goldfish in your hot chocolate? A little salty sweet?
No, I don't think that'd be good. Cheese, soggy,
chocolate,
soggy, cheesy cracker. Sometimes you get me when you say these, and I'm like, ooh, maybe.
Wait, no.
That one, no.
Here's one that may have you out on goldfish. The inspiration from the fish comes from astrology.
Pisces?
There you go. I would not have gotten that.
All right.
I would not have gotten that.
I guess now that I think back to my old Spanish language roots from high school and such, because yes, the Spanish word for fish is pescado would be seafood.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Not to you.
The old Latin roots.
No, Rufio texting on the Vancouver 4 text. I can't wait to tell my kids I put Chilean sea bass in their lunchbox. Boy, that is not going to go over well.
Yeah.
If his kids are anything like mine, they'll just look at you and be like,
no!
What? My son would probably punch me at some point.
And then if you actually had Chilean sea bass, you'd be like, oh. It's I've never had it. It's one of the seafoods that I get down on.
I probably won't.
It's pretty tasty.
No, I'm good. Not gonna lie. Nah, I'll try it, maybe. All right.
That's our worst day on the web. Yeah, coming up next, some hot arena talk. And the only reason I'm going to bring it up is because there was actually some cool stuff with the Clippers opening into a dome last night.
Yep.
Coming up with Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan. Even from inside Moda Center last night, I could see all of the video coming out of Intuit Dome, Los Angeles Clippers' new home in Inglewood, California, the $2 billion toilet bowl. It has all the bells and whistles, and it's the most...
I love Los Angeles!
It is the most dynamic arena in sports right now.
Yes!
May I ask one thing?
Mm.
Why did he worry so much about so many toilets and not just do a bunch of the pee troughs?
I have these notes, but I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. Mm. Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Thank you, Matt Foley.
Yeah. He's a ball of energy. I think I mentioned this last season when the Clippers came to town. So the media room where we all eat pregame is where we also do postgame with Chauncey. And in that area, that's where the main media bathrooms are. And it connects them the hall between the visitor's locker room and the media workroom. More often than not, you will catch GMs and maybe a vice president or a president of a team use those restrooms occasionally. You're like, oh, we're down here. Steve Ballmer is the only owner I've ever seen wait in line in that bathroom.
Yeah.
And he did it professionally and both nights in a row because they played him in a back-to-back. And I was kind of like, you know what?
All right.
Good for you.
Are you telling me Steve Ballmer is an everyman?
He actually is. Like his, I went to high school with his niece, Noah's nephews, and they like he's a chill dude, like a really good dude, like normal,
as normal as a billionaire can be.
As normal as a billionaire can be.
Because you can't have that kind of money and not because you are treated differently when you have that much
so
money.
So he's not going around and doing weird. But faux jumping jacks on stage, a different one.
Like talks to his family still.
Yeah,
like all these things. But that arena is insane. Yeah. Have you seen the pictures from like the top rows of it?
Yeah,
it's a safety hazard.
You're like leaning forward.
Like you need to have like
a harness
and rigging to get down those stairs. I think the Wall of Fans is the coolest thing that any professional sports team has done since the Atlanta Falcons in their concessions.
Yeah, the Wall of Fans got KD last night.
He said it rattled me. Like, I was surprised by it. And it took them a while to adjust. But basically, if you don't know what the Wall of Fans is, it's first come, first serve. You're vetted by the team.
Mm-hmm.
It's only for the hardcore fans. It's the first 13 rows behind the visiting team's bench or hoop in the fourth quarter. And so, like, the pivotal time you're on the visitor side bench, you are next to the hoop that they're going to be shooting their free throws on, and it's only the most passionate fans. Steve Ballmer said, I am done with having hoity-toity, nose-in-the-air people sitting right next to the basket.
Yeah.
He wanted hardcore fans.
He wanted to be loud.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It is awesome.
The guy probably watched the Arizona State and the curtain enough times and went, that's dope. I want that experience for our team.
I think it is really cool that an owner is doing something for his fans.
Which I also, it's tongue in cheek here, but the toilets also is for fans. So yeah, you're not spending a crap ton of time on the crapper.
You see how much parking is there, though?
It's Inglewood.
General parking.
$70.
$70 yeah. per car.
Welcome to L.A. It's that Inglewood area.
Not
it's,
for the fans.
It's right next to the
L.A. Forum.
It is that same property, but also what's the new L.A. football stadium?
SoFi.
It's in that same district, and parking there is an absolute premium.
That was cool, though. I'm in it. I'm in on the dome.
Did you see the Halo screen?
Yeah.
That thing's crazy. For those of you who I'm talking about, the video screen is an open circle that mimics the shape of the ring, and it's fully integrated into the arena. And by that, I mean, like, they have videos of, like, you know, they shoot a video of Kawhi Leonard with a T-shirt in his hand, like he's throwing it out to the crowd. Well, it's synced up to cannons on the top of the board, so that when he throws it and the angle that he throws it out, the cannon mimics it. So Sweet. When he throws it on the screen, all of a sudden it appears shooting out from the same spot. It's just like,
that's awesome.
Like, everything they do is just like fully integrated.
Yeah.
And it's very cool. You know,
it's almost like a billionaire tech guy designed
it. Yeah. And they want, like, they want the entire thing. Number one, it's meant to make money, but it's meant to be about fan engagement and experience. If you're going to shell out a metric crap ton of money,
mm-hmm.
they want you to feel like you got something out of it.
If you're going
to
roll out James Harden, Terrence Mann, Norm Powell, Zubox, and Derek Jones Jr.
And Kawhi Leonard Street Clothes.
Have a
Kawhi Leonard good Street Clothes sounds like a cover band.
Yeah, it does.
Right?
Yeah. Like, maybe that would be like the modern day Pearl Jam.
That's a good
right? name. Because they started as Mookie Blaylock.
See?
Ooh. Speaking of Mookie Blaylock, do you know what drove me nuts? I think it was yesterday that I kept hearing on the show that precedes ours on the radio. A certain radio host kept referring to Mookie Betts as Mookie.
Mookie?
Mookie.
Mookie.
Not Mookie. Not Mookie Betts. He would call him Mookie.
I do like Mookie
like
Betts,
he's a, like
sounds
he's
like
a,
Milky.
Like he's a Chewbacca. Mm. Like he's a Wookie.
Mookie. Okay. Yeah. So like Cookie?
Mookie and not Mookie.
You do a good Chewbacca. Do it. There it is.
There it is.
We got it.
But yeah, arenas. Back. Subtle little note, ESPN did a rankings of all arenas in the NBA. Moda smack dab in the middle, 16.
Which sounds about right.
To be fair, it is the only arena in the NBA that has not been updated, which they are doing over the next 4 years.
Well, that's pretty good ranking then.
So yeah, no.
Believe it or not, it's one of the older arenas in the NBA now.
It genuinely is. And having just been up at Climate Pledge is ahead of Moda now. But again, they spent $2 billion retrofitting that place as opposed to tearing it down and building a new one.
Well, retrofitting is a very loose term because they just kept like a few beams and put up some new
drywall.
And the entire undercroft. No, like
everything else.
The entire undercroft is original. But everything else is new.
Yeah.
It's because they have the WNBA lockers and visitors, the NHL lockers, which are huge because you have more players and hockey, and the visiting lockers, and now an NBA locker.
There we go. Let's go.
Pretty cool. All right, come up next. It's Thursday afternoon. It's 2:00-ish, which means it's time for us to make our picks, which you do here in hour number 3 on Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.